we're going to be talking with Deb Trippier, President of Retail Positions and Career Connections. Deb is a retail contingency recruiter, and she also has a staffing business in Nashua, New Hampshire. Deb, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I am well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Boy, you know, and I think about it, that you know, you were just at a conference for recruiters, owners in the local market, and unfortunately, I was out of town, how dare I, and could not attend. But, you know, one of the things that always comes out of those events is some great information on what's going on in the marketplace today in terms of the recruiting world. And we love information like that, Deb. So what can you tell us about what's going on in the retail and staffing worlds?
Absolutely, Dave. Well, it was a fun-filled, as you know, conference. You know, the hope with the conference is a couple of things. It's an education opportunity to get some CEUs and stay contemporary with what's happening in the market. But it's also an opportunity for owners and senior managers to come together and share best practices and talk about what's happening in the industry and have a little fun. You know, sometimes this business can be a little bit isolating. You know, we're in our own world and we're recruiting away, and, you know, sometimes we get lost in the day-to-day. So what I loved about this conference is that the main topic was about social media. And as you know, that's ever present these days, and some of us are doing it better than others. So it was an opportunity to talk about the different social media elements and how they relate to HR and recruiting, and, you know, what are the best practices in the industry. So I was very fortunate to have an opportunity to actually do a video. One of the things that I had wanted with my social media personally was to do a video for my LinkedIn profile. I thought it was a way to really reach my clients and reach my candidates in a way that other recruiters may not. So we taped that, and I just got the prototype today. And, I mean, of course, I'm a little critical. I would have liked it to be a more of a wide-angle shot than a dead-on shot, but that's okay. And we're going to be uploading that to my LinkedIn profile. So that was the outcome for me personally. But for the rest of the folks, you know, we just talked about all the different, you know, social media and how to make the best use of that.
No, and I think, by the way, people can go to the HR Power Hour site after this showing, and then we can make sure that they have the link to your LinkedIn page right there so they can click on it. And I think that would be a good way to have people see exactly what you did. And I'm sure it looks great, Deb. Yes, you're critical,
right,
but I'm sure it was great. I'm not worried about that at all.
I'll tell you, I just think that it's very innovative. And I was inspired by a candidate who actually had it on her profile. She, you know, was searching through LinkedIn to try to find a candidate. And it's funny how when you see a link to a video, you're just compelled to click it. Regardless of whether or not that candidate was right or not, and I'm hoping the same happens with my LinkedIn profile, that if you do find yourself landing on my page and you see that it's just a 30-second, you know, blip, we're such a YouTube nation now that people love videos and they're just compelled to click on them. And so for me, that was just a big success of this last conference, because it's something that I've always wanted to do, but you really need the high production quality. So one of the things that we also talked about is your LinkedIn picture and the importance of that. You know, sometimes people put their family or themselves with their dog. You know, folks, this isn't Facebook, you know, and it's a professional networking site, and you have to make sure that you get a professional headshot, especially if you're in the HR community and, you know, prospective candidates are looking at your profile or a prospective employer. So, you know, they had an opportunity for us to also get professional headshots, you know, at this session as well.
No, I think that's critical. It is critical.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things you see on there are more Facebook-y, and that's, you know, that's really a social media site.
That's it. And just recognizing the difference and knowing that, you know, whether you're looking for a job today or not, people are looking at that profile and it makes an impression. Even if they only go by your page once, that impression will last for a long time. And, you know, like I said, I think, unfortunately, people just upload whatever they have. And it is important to have a picture, but it's actually more important to have the right picture. I think it's best to not have a picture if it's not the right picture.
No, I agree. Now, did they speak about Branch Out, which is Facebook's new take into the professional market, and whether or not that has gained any traction?
Good question. You know, no, that we really didn't spend a lot of time talking about Facebook. You know, nobody has really found it to be significant in terms of a networking opportunity. And, you know, a lot of people have their own page in terms of their company, but how to drive traffic to that and get the appropriate number of likes, you know, to get visibility, I think it's still in its infancy. So the primary focus was on LinkedIn.
Well, no, clearly LinkedIn, you know, is 70 to 80% of recruiters go there first now is the latest numbers, and it certainly is where you must be. Absolutely.
It is. It is. And we actually didn't touch a lot upon Twitter as well for the same reasons. You know, it's somewhat in its infancy. And I don't know about you, Dave, but, you know, I follow a lot on Twitter. And sometimes I just can't keep up with the feed.
No, so it's true. Thinking, it's true.
You know, how are other people, you know, keeping up with it? And if they're not looking for a job, they're not necessarily, you know, looking for my tweets. And the truth is, I'm not always looking for people that are looking for jobs. I'm actually looking for the passive candidate more often than not. So, you know, that's my job, to get out there and actually find those folks and not necessarily surf job boards or, you know, find the best of the unemployed. You know, especially in our profession, our clients pay us significant fees to find them top talent. And top talent is, you know, the top 20% within that particular niche. So we go out and find out where they are and give them a call.
No, I think that's an important statement to make, is that there is a huge difference from just seeking out, you know, passive candidates versus active candidates. And employers do say that they want to find somebody who is relatively happy at what they're doing, because they want to bring that talent on board, not somebody who's negative, not somebody who's not happy, because, you know, that isn't something that they want at their employment.
You know, and it's interesting. One of the things that I've learned probably only in the last 3 years of the 11 years that I've been doing this, Dave, is that, you know, resumes really do tell the story, and the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And for so many years, I would sort of listen to my candidates, and I would, you know, come up with all the excuses that they were giving me about why certain things had happened on their resume, and I bought into it. And, you know, I've learned today that, you know, your resume is really the footprint of your professional career. And, you know, it really needs to stand on its own. And when you find yourself having to explain away different moves in a person's career, it's probably not right.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, it's the old saying, if it's missing on the resume, or if it's, you know, kind of whitewashed on the resume, there's probably a reason for that. If it wasn't accomplished, when we talk about on certainly the outplacement side of our business and career transition side, about accomplishments, because the fact is when an employer or a recruiter looks at a resume or looks at LinkedIn, they want to know what you can do for that organization, what you can do for that company. And it's not, you know, if it isn't an accomplishment, it is something that you're trying to excuse, there's probably a good reason for that.
Right.
In terms of what...
And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about recruiting, Dave, is that candidates, you know, sort of contact us and believe that we're going to look for a job for them. And I think there are agencies out there, and I think actually your agency does a lot of work in outplacement with candidates. But your average recruiting agency is working on behalf of their clients, and they're trying to fill positions that their clients have given them specifications on. And so it's always challenging when candidates are referred to me and they're looking for me to place them or to find an opportunity for them. And I try to be really upfront with candidates that, you know, a recruiting agency, for the most part, on a permanent basis, is out actively seeking candidates for the particular openings that they have. The only differentiator between that is on the temp side, where temporary agencies are, you know, always looking to take in inventory, if you will, in terms of candidate inventory, so that when they have an open position, they have you on file and you're ready to go.
No, I think that's true. You're absolutely correct. And even on the outplacement side, you know, we're not we, as at CMA, are looking to try to match up certainly companies and employees. But the fact is that we even tell them, you know, this is not a placement agency. And there is a difference between recruiting and placement in terms
exactly.
of it. There's a huge difference between the two. And to be honest with you, I have said it in the past and I will publicly say it again. I am not in favor of a candidate paying somebody to find them a job. The fact is that is very difficult for anybody to say, hey, you know, I'm going to pay you and you're going to find me a job. It just doesn't work that way in the market today.
Absolutely, Dave. I completely agree with that. In fact, if anyone is willing to take your money as a recruiting agency, I think it's really unfair. And candidates need to be aware that a lot of it is timing when you contact an agency. There may be, or a recruiter, it may just be perfect timing that you reach out and I have the opportunity for you, and it's great. But I think it's important that we are upfront with candidates to say exactly what we can and can't do for them so that they can continue their search on their own.
Absolutely.
And, you know, certainly I'll try to steer them in the right direction. If there's a particular company that they're interested in, if I happen to know anyone within my niche, I'm happy to say, you know what, I don't have anything, but if, you know, why don't you contact XYZ Regional? They may have something, you know, specific to my industry. But I think candidates, you know, really need to take an active role in finding positions for themselves and using all the resources and networks that they have available to them in addition to contacting agencies.
Sure. From an employer's standpoint, they are out there, they're thinking of calling you, and we'll talk specifically on the retail position side at this moment, because obviously that's where you specialize. Tell me about some of the things that, you know, companies say to you. So why should I use a recruiter? Why is it valuable to me? You know, at what level does it matter? I mean, I hear these questions all the time, but it's always,
sure.
you know, important to hear everybody's perspective on that.
Absolutely. That's my favorite question, Dave. You really set me up there. A couple of things. You know, what I always say to my clients is, you know, I work on a contingency basis, and I don't expect that you're going to stop searching for the perfect candidate. I want you to continue to use all of the resources that you're using right now. You can put it on your website. You can post it on the job boards. You can network within your team. You do all of those things and continue to do that. All I'm asking is for an opportunity to show you that I can actually go after passive candidates that wouldn't apply to a job board or that wouldn't make it known that they would be open to a new opportunity, just from a confidentiality perspective. And I go out there, I am your brand ambassador, and every time that I pick up the phone and reach out to a candidate and mention your company name, I'm representing your brand. And I do that with great pride and great integrity. And I will reach out to them and make sure that my communication is solid and thorough, and make sure that whether that candidate is interested or not, that because I've touched them and because I've mentioned your company name, that I leave a great lasting impression about your brand. And I think that's the difference between, say, me as a recruiter and maybe a large national chain. You know, they're doing kind of what I call a spray and pray type of recruiting effort, which is just sort of getting out there and, you know, sending a big email blast to, you know, 1,000 people and hoping that somebody responds. I'm actually targeting the candidates that you're looking for, reaching out to them by telephone, by email, and any method that I can, and telling the story, talking about your brand, talking about its corporate culture and its core values as a customer, and, you know, making them aware of this opportunity and the value that it might have for their career. So I think that's the biggest differentiator, and I'm doing that all on a contingency basis. I work for free until I deliver a candidate that you can't live without. And at that point, you're happy to pay the fee.
I think that that's probably the bigger difference between, as we all know, retained and contingency. And both have their purpose. There's no question that both types of recruiting for specific positions on specific times at specific levels are valuable. But this is, you know, this is something that people have to understand the difference. And the value that this brings is that the employer gets to wait until they get the absolute best candidate in terms of that comes across the board. And
exactly.
That's
and you
the
need
key.
To use multiple resources in doing that. I think, unfortunately, you know, recruiters have a bad name out there. And I think if you are going to engage with an agency or a recruiter specifically, you need to ask them, you know, how will you go about sourcing on my behalf? And, you know, if their answer is, I'm going to post it on the job boards, well, you're probably already doing that. So you're going to be dipping into the same pool of candidates. And, you know, I think once you develop that relationship and you understand what they're going to do, it just makes sense. There's really no risk from an employer's perspective. It's just another potential avenue to get candidates.
No, so. I think you're absolutely correct. This is, you know, another tool. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
If this radio spot were Nikki Baker's life, it would start pretty normal, like this.
And about this far in, Nikki would drop out of high school.
Here, she'd be forced to work two jobs, but then she'd decide to earn her GED diploma.
It would be the beginning of a brighter future. For free info about GED test prep classes, call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org and begin your brighter future.
GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB Radio, 1310 AM locally. Deborah Trippier, President, Retail Positions, is on the phone with us doing this great interview. Deb, thank you very much for doing this.
Happy to be here, Dave.
Great. You know, we've talked a little bit about, in the last segment, about employers and contingency recruiting and candidates. One of the things I think that would be really interesting to the HR leaders and also owners out there of retail companies is how they can provide information that's really helpful to recruiters, having to do with what you spoke with, culture, needs of the organization, what exactly the position is. So can you bring us through an example maybe of what would be the information they can provide and how they can provide it to make it an effective search that you can get the best candidates for them?
Absolutely. You know, Dave, what's interesting about being on a contingency basis is that clients need to understand that this is not the only position that we're likely working on. And to the extent that they can communicate consistently with us. So if we do find a candidate that we're excited about, we get them engaged in the opportunity, we present them, time is of the essence. And, you know, it's important that they get back to us, that they set these candidates up to speak with them. We've sort of, you know, pulled them out of their situation. We've gotten them excited about the opportunity, and it's important to keep them going through the process. But on the front end, the most important thing is really, again, communication. Because we have several things that we're probably working on our desk at any given time, if we feel as though we have the client's full participation and attention, it's a lot more motivating. Remember, I'm working for free here until I find a candidate. And if I believe that I'm going to be able to place a candidate with this client, then I'm a lot more motivated to focus on their particular opening. So I think really just that partnership, giving us as much information about the interview process, who they're going to meet with, any nuances about the, you know, VP of sales or the VP of stores, or depending on the position, you know, what will the process look like? Who will they be meeting with? What are the hot buttons for those in the interview process? You know, tell me about dress code. Tell me, you know, all the details so that I can really find the right person. How many years experience are you looking for? So sort of the things beyond the job. Anybody can read a job description, but I need to know in between the lines what's important. And, you know, are you looking for somebody more seniored, more tenured, or are you looking for somebody more junior in their career that can grow into the position? So, you know, any information that we can be provided on the front end is certainly helpful. But the most important thing throughout this whole process is the ongoing communication. If I feel like you're working with me, I'm going to work that much harder to fill your position.
We kind of call that having to do with the culture and between the lines, the, you know, the silent job description, because it's the stuff that isn't necessarily written down. It's the stuff understanding about the supervisor and what that person's going to be looking for and the key to the culture and what's going on in that organization. So, and that is critical to really understanding how the best fit, if you want to say, between the candidate and the company.
Absolutely. You know, I would boil it down to this, Dave. The way that I look at recruiting today, and this has changed pretty dramatically over the past 11 years that I've been doing this, there are three C's, what I call in my office the three C's. There are competencies that we're looking for, there's cultural fit, and there's chemistry. And when you look at that formula, 66 2/3% of that have to do with cultural fit and chemistry. So in the past, you know, a recruiter could surf the internet for those competencies and look for those buzz terms on a resume, and boom, you had the candidate. But today, so much more of the search has to do with those two other C's, that's where recruiting has become so critical. And it's up to us to understand our client well enough to be able to find that fit of those other two C's.
No, I think you're absolutely correct, and that takes a real partnership between the recruiter and the employer, because sometimes they're hesitant to talk about things that are going on in the organization. You know, we will sometimes say, so tell us the good, the bad, the ugly, so that we know exactly what kind of situation they're going to be going into. And in fact, what we tell people is, hey, look, they're going to go in and make a difference. That's what you want. And so let's give them some real life, let's be honest, let's give them facts of what's going on, so they can make an informed decision and decide how they can make a difference and impact in that culture and that organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you find that today, finding great talent, I mean, we have obviously social media in terms of LinkedIn has certainly made it a little easier to, you know, to necessarily find out who's at companies and great talent. But the fact is, have you found it to be more challenging, even though unemployment is where it is?
You know, I would say it really hasn't changed. We're all always vying for the same 20% of the talent pool. That's what all employers want, is that sweet spot, that 20%. The difference today is that sometimes both clients and recruiters get lazy. And there's no substitution for finding that candidate and building that relationship with them and having the persuasive power to convince them to make this change. As you know, a job change is one of the, you know, top five most stressful things someone can do. And to the extent that I can hold your hand through this process and make you feel good and comfortable about this change and have the credibility and the understanding of my industry to say, this is why this opportunity is better for you right here, right now, that's the differentiating factor. I think, you know, it really hasn't changed all that much. I think the difference is that recruiters get lazy. And the second you get complacent and think that a tool is going to replace your ability to persuade a candidate, you'll lose.
You know, it's still about smile and dial. It's still about talking.
You know,
it's one-on-one communication.
I will go to my grave in this business believing that it's about building that relationship with a candidate, having integrity, and, you know, having that ability to persuade on the phone. You can't convey that in an email. And even if you send the job description, you send the pay rate, and you send all those different things, I think when I talk to my candidates, I'm not faking it. I am passionate about this opportunity, or I wouldn't do it. I will not take a job assignment where I don't believe in that company and believe in the opportunity. That's not true of all recruiters, but it's true for me. And I think that comes across in my presentation of the opportunity to the candidate.
No, and you have done a great job. You know, certainly I've known you for, do I have to admit how many years I've known you, Deb?
Probably all of those 11.
All 11 years, pretty much. It's way back in my retail days. I remember when you first called for some position at some company, I'm sure it was at the time. But I got to tell you, you run a great ship over there, and that organization has done well. And you're in Nashua, New Hampshire. And, you know, I think that anybody in the retail world should definitely connect with you, because I think it's important for them in terms of an organization to get great talent.
Great. Thanks so much, Dave. And remember, I also have the temp service as well for local businesses. I do national for retail, but I do have a temporary services division that does anything from sales, customer service, admin, for temp and temp to perm on a local basis.
Sure, and we're going to put up on HRPowerHour.com your information so people can click right on there after this show and be in touch with you, and certainly can go to that site and download if they came in the middle of this show. Deb, I got to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dave.
And now the HR tip of the week. A bigger paycheck is not the only type of raise there is. Several alternatives exist, which you may choose instead of, or in addition to, a pay increase. They include maybe a new title, stock options, gain sharing, which is rewards for increased productivity and or cost reductions, individual incentives, bonuses based on company performance and or individual achievement, instant incentives, bonuses based on success of a particular project. So when you're thinking of compensation, it's not just a bigger paycheck, it's how you get there. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Jean Paquette, the new commissioner at the Maine Department of Labor. Jean is an experienced entrepreneur who moved her way up through the HR roles, started a business, and is now running the Maine Department of Labor. She's going to be providing great tips and information on the future direction of the Department of Labor and how you can react and interact with them to improve your business. Catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.